Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Now, the Taoiseach has said, as you heard there in the news headlines, that he does not believe there are enough Gardaí available on the streets of Dublin to effectively combat violent attacks on refugees. Mr. Varadkar told reporters in Limerick today that he was shocked and horrified at the burning of refugee tents in Dublin, and he was worried of further similar attacks happening.
I'm really shocked and horrified to see what happened in Dublin the last couple of days. Whatever people's views are about immigration or asylum seekers or anything like that, these are human beings, and no human being should be treated in the way that people were treated with those protests and the fires the other night. And I condemn it unreservedly. I know the Gard Commissioner is involved and is carrying out a full investigation so that we find who is responsible and make sure they're brought to justice so they can't harm anybody else. And we know as a government that we have responsibilities as well. And Minister Gorman is working really hard to try and find shelter and accommodation in the next couple of days.
The Minister for Justice, Simon Harris, and the Integration Minister, Roderick O'Gorman, are to meet Garda management about the incident later this week. And meanwhile, the government is evaluating the possibility of using floating accommodation, also known as flotels, to accommodate people seeking asylum in Ireland. Well, to discuss all of this, we're joined now by Jim O'Callaghan, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin Bay South, and Gary Gannon, Social Democrats TD for Dublin Central, and also spokesperson for Social Protection and Foreign Affairs for that party. You're both very welcome to the programme this evening. Jim, I might start with yourself, and I just wonder if you put yourself in the minds of people who have arrived in this country, in many cases fleeing areas of conflict, who are now sleeping on tents on the streets of Dublin, having seen what happened, perhaps to themselves or perhaps to people that they know, with the encampment being burned out, and now listening to the leader of the country today saying that he's shocked and horrified, but that he's worried it's going to happen again.
Well, I just want to say first, Sarah, that the violence was shocking that we saw over the weekend, and I, like the Taoiseach, and I'm sure everyone else, wishes to condemn it unreservedly. But I also want to emphasise that the violence we saw isn't representative of the community in which the violence took place. I represent the constituency that includes the southeast inner city, and the vast majority of people in that constituency, in that community, have welcomed in refugees and have been in no way near supportive of any acts of violence or discrimination against them. So I think that is important to say, that we're dealing with a small gang of thugs who got involved in this behaviour on Friday evening, and we shouldn't allow them to sort of blacken the name of all the decent people in the constituency who have been welcoming, and indeed the vast majority of people in the country who've done an extraordinary job in welcoming in so many migrants over the past year.
Okay, but to the point, which is that there are people sleeping on the streets of Dublin tonight, there will be people who have fled areas of conflict, arrived here looking for safety, looking for asylum, being told there's nowhere to go, will be sleeping in a tent, will know that colleagues or friends of theirs or people that they might know had their encampment burnt out, and are hearing the leader of the country saying there's not enough Gardaí to protect them and that he's worried it's going to happen again.
Well, it's a very unpleasant thing for them to hear, but I think we're better off being honest with people in the predicament which they face at present. Like, part of the reason we're in this
terrifying
difficulty...
Jim. I wouldn't say it's pleasant. I would say if I was getting into a tent tonight, knowing what happened on Friday and hearing the Taoiseach tell me that there's not enough Gardaí to protect me, I have nowhere else to go but sleep in this tent. There's not enough Gardaí to protect me, and the leader saying it might happen again. Well, that's not unpleasant for me. That's terrifying.
Well, there should be more Gardaí, and I've been stating for the past year, as have my colleagues in Fianna Fáil, that we need more Gardaí on the street. So, you know, I welcome that the Taoiseach is now stating this, but like, as head of government, he has a central role to play in ensuring that there are more Gardaí on the street. I also believe that certainly the tents that are there at present in my constituency, that there will be a Garda presence there this evening. That's my belief from engagement with Pier Street Garda Station. But I do think we need to put this in a context. The reason why the state has found it so difficult to provide accommodation to the people in the tents on Mount Street is because, I suppose, at present we're providing accommodation for 84,000 people, 20,000 who've come in through international protection, 64,000 Ukrainians. Like, the state has done a fairly remarkable job in terms of providing that accommodation. Mm-hmm. And I think you can't really understand why people are in tents unless you put into context the fact that there are such a huge number that have come in, and the state has done such an extremely good job in providing.
That
getting that accommodation.
But another reason people are in tents is because the homeless services in Dublin won't take them. And from what I heard from Roderick O'Gorman, the minister speaking on Morning Ireland this morning, that's not going to change anytime soon. He's engaging with them, he said, about taking these people at night time.
Well, I also was in touch with Dublin Homeless Regional Executive, and my understanding was that they were down there, yes, engaging with the people. But what we can't have is a situation where the Dublin Homeless Regional Executive is saying that's an issue to be dealt with by the International Protection Accommodation Service and IPAS not being able to resolve it. Listen,
but
the issue,
I suppose the point, Jim, is that that is exactly the situation that we have. You say we can't have that situation. That's the situation that we have. And that's the situation that we've had for very many weeks now. This encampment didn't spring up overnight.
It's been there for weeks, and the only sign
that we're getting any progress, Gardaí now having to, as you say, being posted around the tents, is because people were attacked or their encampment was attacked.
Well, I don't think that's the only reason. I think that's probably added urgency to it. But there certainly is a recognition by government that it has to provide accommodation for people who are seeking international protection. And listen, I welcome the fact that government today has announced that the 480 people seeking international protection who haven't been offered accommodation yet will be offered it by the end of this week.
And just to clarify, that wasn't my understanding of what's been announced, is that many of them will. There will be hundreds of beds, but it wasn't my understanding that all those people who are sleeping in tents will be accommodated by the end of the week.
Well, I am hopeful that the vast majority of the people who do not have accommodation at present will be offered it. But there has to be some recognition, Sarah, and some appreciation of the extraordinary work that the state has done, the government has done, and we can't dissociate the fact that there are people who are living in tents seeking international protection from the fact that there are 84,000 people who are being provided with accommodation.
All right, Gary Gannon, the government's doing its best in the context of what's happening.
Yeah, it's an absolutely shocking abdication of duty on behalf of the Taoiseach today, making that announcement that the guards wouldn't be in place to protect people. It's a shocking abdication of duty when it comes to how we house migrants who come here. People have a right to come here and seek protection. The fact that there was 480 people on the street in tents was a dereliction of duty in and of itself. The fact that they've now been attacked over the weekend and we have the leader of the country saying, well, we simply don't have enough guards to protect them, is terrifying. Look, I don't for a second underestimate the scale of the challenge that we've faced over the last 18 months. But also, there has to come a time where we stop acting surprised. The fact that people are coming here seeking sanctuary from places like Sudan, from Afghanistan, obviously from Ukraine, we need to accept that that's the reality now, and we need to get in front of the problem. Look, there are over 700 modular...
So what exactly are you suggesting at this stage, Gary? Because government is saying it's doing its best. I think you're about to talk about modular homes. We heard from Roderick O'Gorman this morning that 300 of those homes, rather, will be ready by the end of the summer, and I think that the remainder will be ready by the end of the year.
Yeah, they were promised last November. There's been an absolute shocking lack of urgency. So modular homes is an important point to make, because the last one was on your programme 2 months ago. The time frame was April for those. It's now gone out to June, potentially July, but it's gone 350 people in front of them. There's spaces like Baggot Street Hospital, also in Jim's constituency. It was talking about 9 months to do a feasibility test just to find out if it was suitable to habitate people. This is in the midst of a crisis. We have the Department of Children, which is under massive strain, which doesn't seem to really have the expertise in terms of going out and seeking accommodation. It's been very passive in terms of waiting for people to be come forward, offering different types of, what I would say is unsuitable accommodation, but in time of crisis, we have places like the ESB building over in East Wall. That's all been very passive, where people offering them. And we don't have a department who seems to be getting in front of this problem. And what I've been calling for a number of months now is an all-department response to this problem. A couple of months ago, we had a situation where Roderick O'Gorman, in his capacity of minister, had to go onto the radio and make an appeal to every other department he sits around the cabinet table with to come forward and offer potential accommodations that they had. Only one department got back to them. That was the Department of Defence. Look, I do not underestimate the scale of the problem, but it doesn't seem to be an all-hands-on-deck approach of what we've witnessed over the weekend.
Lots of points there, Jim. I might ask you specifically about Baggot Street Hospital as an example, because it's in your constituency. I know your constituency colleague, Labour leader Vanna Batchik, has also raised it. She said she sent it, along with a whole load of other vacant buildings, at Dara O'Brien's request to Dara O'Brien months ago. Never heard back. What is going on?
And I raised that issue of Baggot Street Hospital a year ago. I don't know what the explanation for not using it it is, Sarah, to be honest with you. But in terms of what has been used, it's not as though the state hasn't been doing anything. Gary mentioned the Department of Defence. Like, already a lot of military lands have been made available at Gormanston, County Mead, Ballymullen Barracks in Tralee, and Kilbride Army Camp in Wicklow. So that the state is providing extra lands for accommodation and is availing of extra units all the time. Part of the problem at present is, of course, a lot of the hotels are taking back their accommodation because the summer season is coming in. Mm. And you're not going to find a government TD or a government minister, Sarah, who's going to say this isn't extremely difficult and it's putting huge pressure on the government. It is putting huge pressure. But like, it is not the case that we can simply conjure up accommodation units out of nowhere.
Jim, what do you mean out of nowhere? This has been going on for over a year. We were told those modular homes were going to be in place in October. Then it was December. Then it was February. Then it was Easter. Today we hear it's going to be the end of June and the end of the year for all of them. And that's only 700 modular homes, which is going to take in 3,000 people. Well, which, sir, in the scale of the crisis that we're facing, is a drop in the ocean.
Okay, there are two ways of looking at this. We can focus in the way you're focusing on it, on the 480 people who are seeking international protection who don't have accommodation. Alternatively, we could also pay some attention to the fact that there are 84,000 people who either have temporary protection or are seeking international protection who have accommodation. And when you look, measure the two of them together and you balance it, the government is doing a relatively good job in providing such a large number of units.
That's absolutely fine, Jim, but we still have a case where 480 people are sleeping on the streets in tents, being given a voucher of €25 and literally being told to go off and fend for themselves. That's not acceptable. We can't slap ourselves on the back and say, well done, when that's the case. The leader of the country today failed in his duty to provide certainty to those people who have a right to come here. And we've already been brought through the high courts in terms of making the judgment that the state is failing here. So I appreciate the scale, but we're not meeting it. The Department of Children, I feel, has been left abandoned by the rest of the cabinet in terms of dealing with this. And they're not cut out for it.
Roderick O'Gorman, Gary, has said in the past couple of months, you know, that he's happy that he has the help that he needs.
Roderick O'Gorman and Joe O'Brien actually both had to take to the airwaves not that long ago asking for help from the rest of their cabinet colleagues. The Department of Children is not cut out to be suiting. It doesn't have the expertise to seek accommodation. That's a specialist skill that doesn't seem to be in the department. They also don't seem to have the skill in terms of getting in front of this from a justice capacity. We know, and we can probably identify the individuals who are roiling up this hatred. We see them doing live casting when these attacks are happening. They have PayPals linked to their social media accounts when they're going up and roiling communities. And we still haven't been absolutely, it seems to be powerless in terms of identifying these individuals and getting in front of them.
Yeah,
and this is a year into this.
I might come back to you, Jim, on that point, because I've seen so much commentary on social media that this attack was well flagged for anyone who wanted to look. They were saying what they were going to do.
Well, listen, it is hard to prevent crimes that take place. You say it's well flagged. I just want to commend the Gardaí for the work they did down there over the weekend as well. They did exemplary work down there. And obviously, tents were burned. That's a grossly unacceptable form of criminal behaviour. But like, the Gardaí are doing their best to get on top of it. And I know that the guards in Pearse Street will be around the tents this evening, providing protection for the people down there. Can I also say, in respect to what Gary said, like, the commitment of the government to this is evidenced by the fact that Minister McGrath now earlier this year, that this year, 2023, the government will spend $3 billion on accommodating and supporting Ukrainians. Now, that's just in respect of Ukrainians, not people seeking international protection. So the state is devoting huge resources to this.
Plenty of other European countries are doing that as well. I mean, that's the world that we find ourselves in. I want to ask you about flotels. Is that something that you'd support?
I would support any form of accommodation that is preferable to people who are living in tents. Just situations where tents are set up is not acceptable. It is dangerous for the people involved, and it's also unfair in the communities in which the tents are set up. And you can't have a situation where in busy city streets, people are pitching up tents on those streets. So yeah, if there were flotels available, in contrast to that, I would favour them.
Gary?
This idea of flotels re-emerged in the last day or so. This was kind of flagged last year, and it was found that Dublin Power, for example, wouldn't have been able to cater for flotels because of, you wouldn't have been able to bear them for that long. Look, I'd need to see a lot more detail, but we're talking about actual people here. Keeping several hundred to 1,000 people on a luxury cruise liner was the case last year. You're talking about people with very complex needs. Oh, look what happened in East Wall, for example, where the community was able to integrate with the new people who've come in there. And it's actually found a real balance there by point of having the community being able to engage with the people in the international protection system, and it's actually broke down a lot of hostility. That doesn't happen if you have people on flotels. You're
indeed,
keeping people very isolated.
Jim O'Callaghan, that was a point made by Amnesty International. We were speaking to a representative earlier on the show about a flotel that is going to be set up in Dorset in the UK, and he was making exactly that point, that you're effectively retaining people on the boat, that their freedom of movement is completely curtailed.
Listen, our obligation is to provide sheltered accommodation. Look, unfortunately, we can't provide state-of-the-art accommodation for 84,000 people. The obligation under international protection...
Hold on a second, hold on. State-of-the-art accommodation, no one is asking for that. Let's just be really clear on that. There are people living, families living in hotel rooms all around the country, and nobody's complaining about that as not being state-of-the-art accommodation. This is different. This is people being put on boats where they have to call a little shuttle boat to get to shore if they want to go to the shop or if they want to meet somebody. It's very far from state-of-the-art accommodation.
Sarah, I don't know who is suggesting that people will be put out in Dublin Bay in boats where they'll have to shuttle in. That's certainly not what I would consider to be a
flotel. Well, that's what's happening in Dorset.
Well, we don't live in Dorset. The flotels, if they are here, they would be berthed by a port and people would be able to come and go freely. There's freedom of movement for people who come here seeking international protection. There are more ports. Gary, there are more ports
in the
country.
You're beside Dublin Port in the same way I am. Dublin Port doesn't have that capacity.
I know. It doesn't have to be in Dublin, though, Gary. It doesn't have to be in Dublin. It can be in other ports around the country.
So people that are here after 6 months have an entitlement to be able to work also. Given the fact that people are in, say, some of these hotels for well longer than 6 months, you're not going to be able to house a person on a flotilla, essentially, and meet the needs that we have under international law. You just won't. Or even just basic decency. You can't keep people confined for that long on a boat.
Jim?
If we get down to trying to figure out, well, what's the most preferable form of accommodation for people seeking international protection, I agree. Obviously, flotels would not be the most favourable form of accommodation. But we have to live in the real world where we face in Ireland. Gary, I haven't finished. As I said, we are accommodating 84,000 people in accommodation in this country. I know I've had to repeat it, but unfortunately, all the focus is on the 480 people who haven't been provided with accommodation. And sometimes people need to have a broader perspective of what the state's doing rather than focusing exclusively on small areas where we're failing.
All right, we need to leave it there for the moment. Thank you both very much for joining us. Jim O'Callaghan, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin Bay South, and Gary Gannon, Social Democrats TD for Dublin Central.